grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Luke chapter 21, verse 28. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. I wonder how often we found ourselves asking, where will it all end? That's not the kind of question we're likely to ask when things are going well. But it is the kind of question we might ask in times of personal crisis, or when faced with family problems that just won't go away, or when we become so painfully aware of the violence and the conflict in this world, of the deprivation and hunger and thirst, of the sheer misery that mark the lives of millions. It's then that we might find ourselves asking, where will it all end? Just a few short days after those terrible events we've come to call 9/11, I received a card from a very dear and much older friend, encouraging us all to remain strong in faith and prayer, because no matter what might happen in the meantime, we Christians already know how the story ends. We Christians already know how the story ends. And how does the story end? In the coming again in glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, to judge the living and the dead, and to bring his trusting children to that glorious kingdom which in his love he prepared for us from the foundation of the world. That's where it will all end. Of course, for the unbelieving world, our Christian belief in Christ's coming again has nothing to do with the urgent demands of life. It seems to deal with what to the unbelieving world is at best an utterly remote possibility, in fact, an event that will, in all likelihood, never take place, and therefore can be safely ignored. Another difficulty is that from the very beginning, there seem to have been misguided teachers, even within the church, who have tried to predict the exact day and hour of Christ coming again, despite the fact that our Lord plainly said, "Watch, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming, and the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect." To be sure, our Lord did speak of the signs of the last days, as we heard in the Gospel read today. Signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations in perplexity, men fainting with fear and foreboding at what is coming on the world. But what is so often forgotten is this: according to the teaching of Holy Scripture, all days from Christ's first coming in lowliness until his second coming in glory are in fact the last days, the days when God is at last bringing to completion his truly loving purpose for the whole creation. Saint John, in his lifetime, already wrote, "Children, it is the last hour." Saint Paul addressed the Christians of his day as those upon whom the end of the ages has come. And so when the Lord Jesus says, "When you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near," Jesus is speaking not in terms of our human timetable, but in terms of God's timetable, which is another thing altogether. The timetable of the Lord God, with whom one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So the signs of which Jesus speaks tell us that he is coming, not when he is coming, for he said, "Watch, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming, and watch, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Someone has said that our Lord's coming again has to do not with a date, but with an attitude. Not a date, because the day of his coming is known only to him, but an attitude which is neither cynical despair nor naive optimism, but rather a deep and abiding hope which can face the very worst and still rejoice, because it is hope grounded only in Christ our Savior, the Savior who through forgiveness makes each moment of our lives a new beginning, who brings good out of evil, life out of death, and who will in the end transform the dying creation in the light of his resurrection. As St. Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, creation itself will, in a way we cannot now even dimly imagine, be delivered from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. This world as we know it will come to an end. The signs of which our Lord speaks in the gospel for this day tell us that this is so. Signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations in perplexity, hearts fainting with fear and foreboding at what is coming on the world. In fact, all the dismal and destructive realities of life tell us that this is so. But if you remember and take seriously the words of the Lord Jesus, these signs are no cause for despair. Seen with eyes of faith, they are even cause for hope, because they tell us that the Lord we love and long to see and who loves us is on his way. He's coming to gather his redeemed children into the kingdom which in his love he prepared for us from the foundation of the world. This is our joyful hope, a hope by which we truly live. So let us take to heart the words of St. Paul in the epistle read on this day. "Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that through the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.